move ahead with our own exploring of this idea. Dave and I are flicking back and forth. The Lord wants us to be counted among the wise. He wants that for us very, very much. And wisdom is part of the scriptures. It's in the Bible. It's a very big, big subject of the Bible. And you realize that God has placed it in scripture, and God is a teacher. This Hebrew letter, Lamed, symbolizes the fact that God is doing in scripture is teaching us and wants us to be learners. And God is a great teacher, and this teaching and learning issue is very much a part of how we get wisdom, how we become wise. From the beginning of the Bible, God wants us to be taught various things about wisdom. And, you know, Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. In Psalm 25, 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. And what the scriptures are trying to teach us in wisdom is, what is the meaning of life? Why do we have life here in this world? And why is there a universe at all? Why are we here? Why do we have this existence? And the scriptures want to make that plain to us. They want to teach us in that way of wisdom, of knowing and understanding who God is, who we are, and how our world works. And because God wants us to know how to live well, he wants us to know how to live so that we make an impact for the sake of his love and his goodness and his grace in the world. And he also wants us to be embracing the world so that we can make it better than when we found it, making a better world. I don't know if you've ever heard that. When you go to stay in someone's home, the best idea for you as a guest is to say, I'm going to leave it better than when I found it. That's a good practice of life. We want that, but we realize that in this living our lives, trying to seek to be more wise, there are forces trying to force us into foolishness. We are always having to battle this. There are forces that we struggle against who want to exploit the earth or exploit us. And the exploiting of us is making us slaves in it. And so there's a reminder to us all, may we all stand tall together in the face of those forces here and elsewhere that seek to enslave us and bring us into foolishness that is destructive to our lives and destructive to our world. So we're to try to resist those forces and help to make people who are discerning and wise. People who are able to discern the difference between good and evil. Who are able to resist evil and choose good. This is what we must strive to do as people who love God and seek to follow him. Proverbs 2, verse 6 reminds us, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And he's asking us to commit ourselves to the good, because this is wisdom. This is biblical wisdom, being committed to the good and to being wise. Let us pray a moment. We'll read a passage from Proverbs chapter 1. Dear God, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for the Bible. It gives us many, many lessons of wisdom. We pray that you will help us to be a truly wise people. This is what you want, O God, to have us be counted among the wise of the earth. For this, we need your Holy Spirit to continue to guide us and lead us as we have a time of preaching, Lord, of proclaiming the word of God, of making the name of Jesus Christ known as the way of salvation and truth. Lord, lead us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs 1, 1 to 10, at the very basic beginning of that book, it says there, the Proverbs of Solomon and son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your neck, or head, sorry, garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. And as I read that verse, I'm thinking of the island practice, putting flower garland on your head. And then a chain around your neck would be any kind of decoration. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. That is really a strong message from this first chapter of Proverbs. So over the next 2 weeks, I want to visit the wisdom literature of the Bible, first here in Proverbs, then next week in Ecclesiastes, with perhaps a bow to the Song of Solomon. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God. God is glad to give it to you. And of course, we know about the author of Proverbs, who's Solomon. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Solomon in a second. First, I wanted to say this. Here in the Old Testament, there are 39 books. The three books of wisdom are known as Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. They're sandwiched right in between the Psalms and the minor prophets. So important books that don't encapsulate all the biblical wisdom. Wisdom and being wise or being foolish is a theme throughout the whole of Scripture, from the beginning all the way to Revelation at the end. But there we have a special focus. And we're hearing from Solomon, because in 1 Kings 4:29 it says there, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. You know, when you read that, you realize it's very important. When the Lord asked Solomon what he needed for his reign as a king, he asked for wisdom. And he becomes the author of the wisdom literature. And there is Solomon, a picture of him. God gave Solomon wisdom, understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. There's deep, deep wisdom in that. If you ever read about a great leader in history, they usually found wisdom along the way. They found wisdom from many kinds of sources. Usually there's wise people around them that they turn to. You yourself know in your life who the wise people have been who give you good, sound advice, who you turn to for help and insight in living your lives well. Solomon, in his receiving all this wisdom, becomes the author of the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. What did King Solomon ask from God? He asked God for wisdom to lead his people. God, I want to lead God's people well. It's important. But we know that the Lord God put wisdom at the heart of this universe. The universe we live in, God has put wisdom at his very heart, and it weaved it into the fabric of it. And because anyone who's spent time living on this planet has to learn certain things to get by. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and untraceable his ways." Paul says this kind of in awe, falling on his knees and realizing how great God is. It's a beautiful expression, because true wisdom begins and ends with God. It's truly who God is and how God is busy with us. He wants to give us wisdom for life, wisdom that really matters, that makes a difference. And if you think about wisdom throughout history, just visit the early ancestors of people who came here to Guam. They sailed on the open ocean, navigating it and knowing about tides and winds and currents and cloud formations and the color of the ocean. Just reflecting on this at the Museum of Guam down there in Hagania. It's saying there, the Polynesians who traveled to Guam and became the Chamorro people here were exceedingly wise and knowledgeable about building very good sailing boats and knowing how to build a sail and then in sailing across open water because the people got here from the Philippines. They traveled long distances across long stretches of ocean and somehow made their way here. There is deep and ancient wisdom in that. And it should leave you impressed. It has left me impressed. Very, very much so. Or think about this. To adapt and flourish in any environment on this planet Earth, you need to know how to deal with the elements, such as cool clothing in hot summers. And part of that is just dressing well for it. Hillary and I didn't really dress well for sitting on the beach with our family. Through Titian Beach, we got a little burnt from the sun. In the midday sun was too hot and the tide was too low. My family chose a bad time to come to Guam. The tide was way too low at the middle of the day. A week later would have been way different. But you learn about those things, and you also have to have very good clothing to live in Antarctica in the freezing winter. You cover with everything. You have to have warm, snug clothing to be able to live in freezing cold winters. And then, if you know about the heat and the cold, you have to know about seeds and when to plant them so that you can grow a crop so we have food to live on. And these seeds are so amazing in their diversity. Tomato, paprika, cabbage, cucumber, corn, sunflower. There are better and worse places to plant anything that you put into the ground. And then, of course, there needs to be wisdom learned about how to deal with other people. This is Lady Justice, who talks about how are we going to judge between one person and the next, and who's right and who's wrong, who's telling the truth and who's telling the falsehood, and where is, you know, how do we deal good justice so that people can get along well. It is a complicated subject. And it's something you need to learn about in great wisdom and discernment to be able to develop and live in relationships in local clans and between different towns. In Guam, it would be between the villages of the island when the council of mayors meet. They're supposed to have a certain degree of wisdom in what they do and how they decide. When our legislature meets, and the senators sit down, we hope that they have wisdom in how they deliberate and decide and convene and as they consider legislation to pass. There's also great wisdom in knowing about the markets. If you're going to trade locally, you need to know what you're going to bring to the market and whether it's going to be of value. And then go beyond that into worldwide trade, which goes all over the world. Can't go to Payless when the containers haven't arrived, because then there's nothing on the shelves to buy. The world trade is really at the heart of people's lives since the beginning of time. And understanding all these interrelationships between our whole world is quite amazing, because one nation has oil and another one needs it. Another nation has a great manufacturing ability, or they are, you know, where do your clothes come from, and all of those things all are tied up in world trade. And when you make something that's valuable, you need to decide on what its value is, this price. And there needs to be wisdom in that. How do you find value for what you're selling in a market setting? And I've actually chosen here a picture of a market in the Netherlands for flowers. And here they are bidding on lots of flowers. And I'll never forget, I lived in Ireland, which is two islands removed from the Netherlands. You got England in the middle, and then you got Ireland. And off the ferry, there would come a ferry regularly, would come a Dutch truck with flowers in it. And that would be part of this trade that was going on. But that's not only where wisdom is. It's involved in so many parts of the way the world works. If you're a child going to school for the first time, you need to learn how to interact with a teacher. You need to know how to raise your hand to ask questions and to be able to explore the pathways of knowledge and understanding. And then if you're in school, you have to learn how to decipher the alphabet. Here's all different kinds of pictures connected with the alphabet, the zebra to the apple, a needle, and a monkey, and a lion, and all those kinds of things associating the letters, so you learn them. And then you have to learn how to put those letters together to spell words, and then ultimately learn how to read. And once you have learned how to read and make understanding of that, you know, you go on to perhaps being able to write paragraphs of information, and you can then move in your knowledge and your pursuit of wisdom from learning to read to reading to learn, doing a PhD, for example, and doing some higher education like Pacific Island University or UOG or GCC. You want to read to learn there. So wisdom is important, and it's important to be a good musician. You have to learn the art of music, and there are all different kinds of parts to music. You have to know how to read notes and clefs and chords and sequences and dynamics and tempos and much, much more. So that if you can pursue this art of music, you can perhaps one day play in a symphony orchestra of all these different instruments put together, and then you can play these incredible pieces of music written by Bach or Beethoven. Wisdom is infused into the world. I studied engineering in college, and to get there, I did engineering in college before I went on to go and study philosophy and ministry. To get to through engineering, you have to master certain kinds of mathematics, like calculus, and you need to learn physics, and know the many kinds of elements used to build circuits. You have to understand all these various kinds of things of chemistry and biology and then algebra and organic chemistry, and, you know, if you're going into chemical engineering. And then, you know, there are all kinds of facets to engineering as well. When you put them together effectively, you can master the various forces needed to build a road or a bridge or a tall building or an airplane. But that is not all that wisdom is about. Wisdom, verse 3, says you need to learn prudent behavior and learn how to be right and just and fair. Prudence is the ability to be cautious in making good decisions. I should say that. It doesn't say that fully, but prudence is helping you weigh the consequences of an action or decision before they happen. A prudent person is not driven by compulsion or hasty decisions, but they deliberate and make sense of what they do. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. But a prudent person is one who brings wisdom into what they do. And it's important that you be right and just and fair. This is part of wisdom. This helps you in your daily living. It helps you do the right things when you're supposed to. It helps you be a good, solid person of faith. And then when you have learned some of this to some degree, then you have children coming along. You want to teach that to the young. You want to raise children to become wise, responsible, godly adults. So you train your child to obey and to learn the lesson of, you know, if I say don't touch that, it's hot. They touch it, they burn themselves or something like that. But you teach them how to choose the good and reject the evil. You're teaching them to obey when they have authority over them, when they're sitting in that classroom, raising their hand, they're listening to their teacher and they're obeying, they're following the rules. And you have to deal with their rebellious nature, the rebellion we all feel at certain moments when we don't want to do something we don't like. And you'd be training them in righteousness, and you're always aiming with the child for the heart because you want to teach them how to be a person of love, who knows how to love and knows how to love well. That's the aspiration behind being a teacher, is helping the young become wise. And if you are a truly wise person, you listen and you learn. That is really critical. The beginning of wisdom is listening, is being able to hear. And as the scriptures or Proverbs says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You have to begin to learn how to listen to God's voice. You got to learn how to be quiet and have some quiet time so God can speak to you. It's not always important to have your mind racing when you're praying. Sometimes it's important just to stop and to really have a sense of awe of this beautiful universe that we live in and the powers that make it work. If we do not listen, we will prove to be foolish. There is wisdom in listening and learning, and there is great importance in being discerning, because we do not want to go down the road of foolishness. And if we are not discerning, we will not know when we need to listen and get guidance. The importance of discernment is to say, I'm coming to this fork in the road and I need to know how to go, and the Lord will set into place things and people which will help you discern the path you're supposed to go. He will help give you the compass you need to find your way through the forest, through the trees, maybe having not knowing where you are in the mist and the fog. God will give you wisdom to find a way through it. There are all kinds of ways wisdom comes to us. They come to us in Proverbs, like out of this book of Proverbs. They come to us in parables, which Jesus used to teach people in the New Testament, in the Scriptures. And they come to us in riddles, and they're part of communicating truth. And God loves them all. He loves every part of this. If you think about riddles, you need to solve them. You need to use your mind. You need to be clever. You need to be have skills and be tricky and know how to use logic. And these are very important parts of communication. Because one thing that's critical to all this wisdom is God wants to communicate with us, and he wants us to communicate with him. God would not have included all these kinds of things in his book of instructions in the Bible, or had Jesus used so many if they weren't important. These are all important elements and parts of God teaching us. For example, when you wanted to learn about God's goodness, Jesus used the example of what would a father give his child if they asked for bread. You're not going to give a child a rock. If he asks for bread, you're going to give him what he's looking for. That's kindness and goodness. And then he's talking about communicating God's truth. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son, he delights in." Now, when you read that, you got to realize there's a really great life lesson of this. And it's about foolishness or not. And in God's truth, God's scriptures, God's Bible, he is always revealing to us what he wants us to know. When you turn to the book of Job, talking about a parable Jesus told. If you're in the book of Job, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Job's wife, he has been afflicted by great calamity. He's lost his family, his house has been destroyed, his wealth is gone. Job is under great pressure, and he's lying in ashes and dust, and he's in despair, and he's grieving. And his wife, Job's wife, says to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Are you still saying, you know, God, why did this happen?" She says, "Curse God and die." So she is saying to him, "Give up." And Job replies, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Are you saying, you're going the way of foolishness? For me, I'm going to accept, can we accept good from God and not trouble? Can you accept good from God and not trouble?" God, what Job is doing in the book of Job is he's trying to figure out why. He doesn't understand why, but he wants to know. And in the end, he's humbled, even though his friends give him bad advice. In the end, Job sticks to knowing that he's not going to lose his faith in God, even though he's in great trouble. And the greatest example of this I see in my experience is being a French person living in a French village under German occupation. When the Allies land on the D-Day beaches, they come blasting through France with tanks and with aircraft, and the Germans blasting and the Allies blasting, a lot of French people died. A lot of their homes were destroyed. They lived through trouble, but they didn't lose hope. And they didn't lose faith, because they were trusting that they were being liberated. And when they could, and they had their freedom back, and the Nazi forces were gone, they celebrated with the Allies, and who gave them back their freedom as a French nation, which they are today. And you can enjoy their country today because they did not give up. And they understood this lesson, that you have to be able to accept from God the things that are tough and hard in order to understand that God is good and is going to bring you to the best place possible. He wants that for you, but he will bring you through a valley of trial and tribulation. But as Psalm 23 says, one day he shall set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and he will give you all the good things. Your cup will overflow, even if that is beyond this life. What Proverbs is teaching us is that the very start of the best wisdom for humans is to know God. If you know God, you can really explore wisdom in its deepest levels. And he will teach you how to be the very best human you can be. That's who Jesus is. And he will help you to love God and honor God. And that is so important. And so come to the Lord. Repent in humility before his holiness. And then you can follow him. And there's a meditation on this. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, how to give your life up to the Lord. And we're going to look at that in a video setting. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, thank you that Romans 12, 1 and 2 reminds us to give ourselves up to you as a living sacrifice. And you will help us test to know what is good and acceptable. We pray that you will just continue to help us model our lives upon that of Jesus Christ, it's our Lord and Savior. Who's the wisest man to ever live? More wise than Solomon, even. He taught us his wisdom in a way that would shield it from the foolish and only reveal it to the wise. We only know him as our Lord and Savior, Lord, because you have granted us the gift of faith to trust him and to follow him. May you help us and empower us to do that well. Help us, Lord, in our task of being people who pursue wisdom and reject foolishness, who are always seeking not to use our tongues in unwise ways, but with wisdom salted with truth and grace. Lord, may you be with us and guide us. You truly care about our being growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and help us to do this always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.